So last week, we started a little Dominican mission on the four pillars of Dominican spirituality. So last week, I preached on the topic of study. This week, I'm going to be talking about prayer. Next week, common life. Next week, preaching. So when I look back, when I talked about last week, I talked about how I came back to the faith as an adult. I'd wandered in my high school and college years and started to come back and was really introduced back to the faith through learning about the faith. Started reading about the faith, started engaging in conversations about the faith. So it's very much an intellectual reversion to back into relationship with God. Then all of a sudden, when that part of my spirituality woke up, then I said, well, I want to know God on an intimate level. I want to know God on a heart-to-heart level. And that's where prayer started coming into my life. And that's the topic for today. So growing up, going to Mass on Sundays was non-negotiable in my household. Yes, we were children and teenagers. We fought every Sunday, but it was in vain. You will be going to Mass no matter what you say. So when I started to come back to the faith and as an adult, I was like, well, if you're Catholic, what do? You go to Mass. I was like, all right, start going to Mass. So I went in there, and it was very comfortable, very familiar, and the prayers just kind of popped right back into my head. And I was reminded of a funny story when, after I was ordained in San Francisco, my whole family was in New York and New Jersey. So I went back and said a Mass there. And at one of the first Mass, all my family members came. Some of them, you know, might not visit church as often as they should. And one of my siblings, were recording this one, so I can't tell who it was. One of my siblings was next to my mom. That's James, you rat. Get to church, you know. So anyway, so I was sitting next to my mom, and after Mass, my mom was so excited. She goes, he knows all the prayers. He still knows the prayers. I'm like, Mom, after 18 years, the only week in and week out, the only way you're getting that out is through massive amounts of psychotherapy. Of course it's in there, and it's going to come out very, very, very naturally. But when I came back as an adult and I started to kind of want to be at church, you know, the prayers started to speak to me a little bit. The scriptures interest me, and the homilies were okay. I was like, okay, this guy's got something to say. It's kind of cool. So even if it was just by sort of osmosis, just being at church started to open up that hunger for prayer in my life. Then went into the Dominicans. The first year is the novice year, and they kind of lock us away. I was at St. Albert's for a year and a day, and you got two choices, pray or go crazy. So I was like, all right, let me start praying. So we pray a lot, many, many, many different ways. Of course, there was daily Mass, but another prayer that I was introduced to was the rosary. Now, growing up in my house, there were rosaries in the house, and I mean, you kind of knew it. You can't be Catholic and not even have just like this like tangential understanding of the rosary. But I never prayed it. I never understood what that meant. So we got together, they started to teach us about how to pray the rosary, how to meditate upon the mysteries of Jesus Christ's life. So day in and day out and week in and week out and month in, a year, pray or go crazy, remember? So all of a sudden, the meditation started to become alive for me. So all of a sudden, I was there. I was there at Christ's birth. I was there at the wedding of Cana. I was there when Christ was found in the temple. I was there at the foot of the cross. I experience his resurrection and ascension to heaven. So by starting to meditate, to really think about these events in Christ's life, putting myself right there, they started to become alive for me. And Christ's life started to mean something to my life. Another beautiful prayer I was introduced to was silent prayer. I know you think it's going to be impossible, but yes, this mouth can be silent once in a while. So every night after dinner, we go into the chapel and we did Eucharistic adoration. So we take a consecrated host, our Lord, body, blood, and soul of Jesus Christ, put in this thing called it's called a monstrance, this beautiful ornate monstrance. We put it on the altar and we'd spend an hour just in absolute silence, just being there with God. I also incorporated a second holy hour in the morning. So we had morning prayer at 6:30. So at 5:30 in the morning, I went to the chapel, sometimes by myself, sometimes in the complete dark, and just sat there. And I will confess, often, just the squirrels in my head were running around making noise. It's like, guys, shut up. I'm trying to think, you know, the ways of the world, everything under the sun is going on. I'm like, this is a waste of time. But other times, all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, get there at 5:30, and all of a sudden, 6:30, they ring the bell for prayer. And I was like, whoa. I don't think I had an out-of-body experience. I don't think I fell asleep. But the hour just, poof, just went through. But it was a beautiful experience. I really felt incredibly close to God. In this silence, in this sacred silence, I started to hear God talking to me. And it wasn't like,
do your homework, Brother Jerome.
Not talking about that. Never heard audit. I just started to hear God in my life. And I started to talk to God in the silence of my heart. Then, as formation continued, there was more studying, and the Mass all of a sudden became alive to me. The vocal prayers, right? We're not angels. We can't just sort of mind meld with each other. Well, I'll talk about it a little bit later, but you know, for the most part, we use words. If I want you to know what I'm thinking or feeling, I have to explain it to you. And you receive those words, you think about them and say, okay, I need to do this or not do that. Well, that's what started to happen. The words of those prayers at the Mass started to incarnate in me, started to become alive in me. When we had the penitential rite at Mass, I was like, oh yeah, this sinner needs to have his sins forgiven. As we continued through the Mass, the creed was not just as words I can say as fast as possible. Yes, I believe in one God. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Those words became very positive declarations of faith. And then the words of the institution became absolutely incredible, an incredible reality to meditate upon, because this beautiful miracle of our Lord coming to us in the body, in bread and wine, his body, blood, and soul, divinity, right here in front of me, that was incredible. And that's what I said, wow, there's something incredible going on when I come to Mass. And then I started to actively pray because I could experience God through these words, experience God through these encounters. Looking back, I see where, you know, the Dominicans were teaching me the three main branches of prayer: vocal prayer, meditation, and then, of course, contemplation. So the words that we pray have to come alive for us. Think about it. When Jesus says to, well, the disciples say to Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And he gives them the Our Father. Now, that's a beautiful prayer. Just the first two words radically changed our relationship with God. God is no longer this force that's out there, but we call God Father. You can actually translate it Daddy. It's a very intimate term for us to use for our God. For our God. I'm sure all the dads here, the first time your son said, Daddy, like, does your heart just not melt, right? That's the relationship that we now have with God through those beautiful words. We think about when Jesus said, I have come to anoint, to proclaim good news to the poor. Our God came and said, I am walking among you. I am coming to give you these beautiful gifts, both spiritual and temporal. And then, of course, this is my body. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. So these vocal prayers help us to take what's up here and translate it down to here so we can have that relationship. And then, of course, there's meditation. There's a type of meditation today that's very popular, which is sort of this emptying of oneself. And that's not bad at the beginning. You want to kind of quiet the mind down and sort of get all that stuff quiet. But we don't stay there. If we meditate upon nothing, well, you get nothing, right? Our meditation isn't upon nothing. It's on everything, because Christ is everything. We meditate upon this beautiful relationship that we have. So by meditating on the sacred scripture, sacred art, sacred music, sacred liturgy, we have this beautiful encounter with our God, because all of those point to his life, his death, and his resurrection. And as we meditate upon those, we enter into that, and that informs every aspect of our life. Once that happens, that'll lead us to contemplation. St. Teresa Avila wrote, contemplative prayer is nothing else than a close sharing between friends. It means taking time frequently to be alone with him who we know loves us. Contemplative prayer is also the most difficult because it requires us to really understand silence in order we're going to hear God. It's this very beautiful personal language that we have with God. the closest example I can give to that is a couple who've been married for like 50 years. Just watch couples who've been married for about 50 years. They finish each other's sentence, right? All of a sudden, you're in a room, and one of them will get up and get something for the other person. They haven't asked for it. They just intuitively know that my beloved needs this. Like this, like strange, like Jedi mind meld is going on there, you know? But it's really beautiful because the two flesh truly have become one. For richer, for poorer, for sickness and health, till death do us part. The two have become one. And they speak a language that only that couple knows and understands. That's what we're striving for with contemplative prayer. We can read what God wants for us. God is giving to us what we need for us. Our flesh becomes one with his in the Eucharist, obviously. But we have that sort of coming together of heart, mind, and soul with God so that no matter what happens, we know that God is part of our life. This comes in the silence. And this is an incredible experience. And anybody who's written about it, the mystics will just tell you. It's an ecstasy beyond belief. So St. Paul writes to Timothy in today's second reading, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be offered for everyone, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. So we see that we should be always praying. And I'd like to have the action step for this week. Last week's action step was? Nobody knows? Good for you. One person. Good. You can go back and listen to last week's homily if you weren't here. All right, good. So this was study. This week we want to pray. And one of the things I want to really encourage us is to experience that sacred silence. So what we're going to do is every Tuesday night, from 8 to 9 o'clock right here in the chapel, we're going to have adoration for everybody. You're more than welcome to come. There's a couple prayers in the beginning. Then we have the Blessed Sacrament out for about 57 minutes. A couple prayers. Then we put our Lord back into the tabernacle. I want to invite you to come, even if you got 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Come every other week. Come once a month. Right? Just come and experience that sacred silence. There's no signing up. There's just showing up. I want you to take some time. We live in a world that's very busy, both with good things and maybe not so good things. And we're never going to hear God in our lives unless we listen. And we listen to him in his presence, in that beautiful, sacred silence. So every Tuesday from 8 to 9, we're going to be here. If you can't make it, we have an adoration chapel 24/7. If you can't make that, find a place in your house. Sort of mark it off, right? We have TV rooms. We have eating rooms. We have lounging rooms. Why not get a little space in your room or say, this is where going to be the sacred silence. And every day, every so often, just pop in there, turn everything off, and just listen for God. So once we have this communion with God through prayer, so we started out with study, we know that God is there, we start thinking about him, that moves us to this beautiful relationship with God, love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, and soul. But the second part of that commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And that's where our prayer, our study should lead us to prayer. Our prayer should lead us into relationship with one another. Because I can't love my neighbor as myself unless I know my neighbor. So next week, we'll transition to the third pillar of Dominican spirituality, which is common life.